Genesis 1:1. There's so much, I mean, you could say in this verse, but I'm going to skim through some things, just some things that I thought were interesting. And maybe you've thought of these, and maybe you haven't. And some things I want to dwell on a little bit longer than others. But at the end of the lesson, I just hope that you notice some of the scriptures that we share. Just kind of curious if you've seen them before or thought about them. And they just left me with I think just more in awe of our God. It's just amazing when you think about some of the scriptures and what's read when it deals with creation. Genesis 1:1, of course, says, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." And we know when reading this, there is no getting away from this truth. You know what I mean? You read that, you can't get away from the fact that in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, can you? No matter what some theories say and other theories say and what's between verse 1 and 2 and all the other things that go on and our beliefs, there's one thing you can't get away from, and that's in verse 1 right off the bat, that in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. It happened. It was real. And when you think about it, a lot of people get into science, and I can talk about these things forever and ever. It seems like every time I talk about more, I learn more. But that's real science. I mean, that's really science. In the beginning, God created heaven and earth. This isn't what others have said to be their own God. A lot of people, to be their own God, they won't use that scripture right there as a truth. They won't use that scripture when it comes to being responsible for their own selves or to be their own God or not wanting to be responsible to the Creator. A lot of times they forget, a lot of people forget as they study science that is not true, they forget that, or they don't think about the fact that He is the Creator and we're the created. And that happens a lot. A lot of times they use made-up, unproven science to believe differently about Genesis 1:1, don't they? And we've heard that all through our lives, saying that they're made from nothing, or bringing out the big boom, or saying, you know, just all kinds of things you hear all through your life. But you know, I thought about the whole time, no matter what they that don't believe the truth of this verse 1, no matter what they say, they're still going to be responsible to God. You know, it doesn't matter whether they say it or not when it comes to whether it's true or not. It's true. They can't change no matter how hard they try. And no matter how much they start believing in, well, this must be true because of this, and this must be true because of this, and because of science and what they found, what other man has told them that he has found, that has fabricated what other man has told them that they have found. And that's exactly what Satan loves, the fact that man can deceive man by ignoring the truth right off the bat with chapter 1, verse 1. Just as Genesis 1:1 is true, so will be the truth at the time of their judgment. You can go back to the beginning and know that everything was planned. When we study this word, I mean, we can go back to the beginning and see that everything that God did was planned. That God knew exactly what man would do. At one time, all were naked before God. By the way, we still are. He knows everything. Without the covering of blood, He would see us for who we are. He is all-knowing. It reminded me of Scripture in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13. Go to Hebrews 4:13. So let's back up and let's go to Romans chapter 1 first. Just before we start that, let's go to Romans 1. Ruth's laughing at me.
He'll say, go here. Well, before we read there, let's go here.
Really? Hey, if you're complimenting me with him, I'm winning. That's a good thing. Oh, me. Now, in Romans chapter 1, Scripture's clear, and we have a picture of those that do not take Genesis 1:1 as truth. And we know this when we went through Romans. Of course, this was a lot of this is before the law and the things that happened. They pertain to today, too, though. And in Romans chapter 1, if you go to verse 18, the Word of God says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." And to take Genesis 1:1 as a non-truth, to try to be not responsible to a holy God and to not claim His truths, that's unrighteousness. And that's what men do, and that's what on down the line that today teachers will do. And their hope is, I mean, let's face it, my hope when I would argue with people, when truth wasn't as important as I believe it is today, my hope more than anything is that I can get people to agree with me. And it was amazing. You heard somebody that says they lie so much they start believing their own lie? I mean that's what man has done through the ages to take away the validity of the Scriptures, so much so that, as Kevin's mentioned a lot of times, they use any kind of translation they can to fit to not be responsible for what we're responsible to. And that's the truth of God's Word. And so you see that in verse 18, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that, when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools." And that's a beautiful picture of today. It's a sad picture, but it's a truth today that we can see when we say, man, how is that guy so smart? How does he know so much about different things, whether it's science or math or whatever, or just history even? And he becomes so wise that the truth of the Scripture is not important anymore. He's become wise unto from others or unto himself, to where he will reason away those things that are simple, that are true. And that's what becomes of man, and that's what has become of man here. Verse 23 says, "And changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things." And we had mentioned, sometimes we forget that we are the creature, and that He is the Creator. And if you can find a way to not be responsible to God, then a lot of times you become more than you think you are, even though it's an untruth. In verse 24 says, "Wherefore, because of this," in other words, "God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen." And I believe that's what people do with themselves today that are not involved in the truth or in the Scriptures. They worship themselves. They spend more time on themselves and think more about themselves. I mean, they're trusting in their flesh here, okay? There's a lot of people that do a lot of good things, but that are trusting in their flesh, that are selfish people, and the glory is to them and not to God, because they're not recognizing Him as the Creator and them as the creature. And it's a domino theory, I believe. You can read this and you can see you knock one domino over and they also go over, and from schools to before that, I mean, all the way back, men being impressed with men and what they know.
You know, I think that usually when people think about the wrath of God, they think of the tornadoes that come
up. Oh, yeah.
So, according to this, the wrath of God is just letting them become, you know, the stupid things that...
Being unrighteous.
Their foolish hearts were darkened, their imaginations became vain, let them follow their own corrupt way.
Yeah.
Not blowing their houses down.
Yeah. Good point. Good point. In verse 26, it says, "For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections." It's amazing. We've turned vile affections into a beautiful thing in this world. And they're vile. You know, we're so blind to the things of this world that we have made things that... let's face it, even today you take that word, somebody will say, "Well, man, that's bad." People make the word bad good. I mean, we have messed up our vocabulary. And it's a picture. "For this cause God gave them up to vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only to do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them." And so, that's what I mentioned a while ago. That's how society has become. Even the religious world has become this way. And I mean, let's face it, some of your biggest audiences today are filled with men that stand behind a pulpit and speak more of what you can do to be a better person and speak of these things more than they speak of Jesus Christ and what He has done for us. And we talked about last week the mercy that He had upon us and the grace that He gave us. I mean, you understand? I mean, and that's, you don't hear of those things. Just take an hour through the next week and just watch. Just go through a Christian bookstore and look at the titles of the books. God's not in it. I mean, the importance of His Word is not even there. I guarantee you, in most of the books you'll open, it'll be more how you can become a better person. That's a sad picture that we're so blind to that. And when we get in this Word, and some of the scriptures I saw this week were just amazing, that I realize I don't read enough. It's like, you know, it's amazing how I can miss a day, or I can study quickly, or things like that, but when I have the time to study, how hungry it can make you to see these truths. Those are things that we miss if we're not careful. Turn this down. Hebrews 4:13. I know you were there a while ago. We're talking about being naked before God, and whether we want them to know or not, or whether man has said, "Well, we're going to ignore this part of the scripture," or whether churches today ignore the fact of rightly dividing or understanding truth or making the Word of God important. Hebrews 4:13 is pretty clear. It says, "Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do." I mean, it's clear. Whether we ignore the fact or not, God is God. I mean, and He knows who we are. But people today want what was wanted or desired to look at from the beginning. If you go all the way back to the beginning, that's what people people today are almost in the same manner. I thought about in the Garden of Eden, you know, wanting to take the fruit and give to others. Wanting to be responsible for their own selves. Today, nobody wants to be told what to do. They want to be their own authority. I mean, that's the picture for today. Instead of believing God at His Word, they say to themselves, it's a lie, until they almost believe that it's a lie. They also want you to be right there with them. That's what people want. They want to build their clan where you agree with them because they feel better about themselves. They reason within themselves to their own destruction. And that's the world we're in. By the way, I'm not talking about those that are out in the world that aren't even thinking of them. I'm talking about those that are in the religious sects today. It's the issue, those very things that you're really at war with. There are things in the last month in my life that have come about that it's amazing just how evil people can be. Even with the fact that, I mean, we're not ignorant here with what's gone on in my family in the last month, the joy of people that know this truth. I mean, there's a lot of people that enjoy the fact that's what's gone on with my family. I mean, just with people, you know, and so I don't say that before the sheer fact that I feel sorry for them more than anything else. There's just an ignorance. There's a chance of, well, that's why this happened. Same thing with tornadoes or with whatever. And I use my own personal examples how I learned myself here. That's why I say that. But it's a sad picture that people are that blind. That's the issue, though, that they want you to be right there with them, to agree with them. Now, can you imagine being naked before God? Do we ever think about that? That's really, when you think about what we've just read in Romans, that could be a scary thought if people would just think about that. It's not that scary to me because I'm covered by the blood. There are many that go to church and God's just a word. Remember, God even knows the thoughts and the intents of the heart. These are just things that, as I studied this week and I started seeing these things of God, as I studied the things through Genesis 1 and where it led me to, the things that I just forget naturally. I don't mean to, but I mean, realize everything you do and everywhere you're at, you're an ambassador. Christ is in you. And He knows your heart. He knows the intents of the heart. That's where I thought again, praise God for His mercy and His grace when I look at myself. Because there's a lot of things that I am not merciful about to others. But a lot of things I show no grace to. I think of the guys that work under me that they need certain things. And a lot of times they're just not good at what they do, maybe. Or maybe they're new. And the intentions I have are not good sometimes. But I think about the mercy and grace that God gave me. But you know what? There's no escape, no matter what a person believes. Even if it sounds fair to them. You know, if they say, well, I just think this would be better. You hear everybody say, well, that's just not fair. Or I think it would be better. They start thinking or reasoning within themselves. There's no escape. Even if it sounds fair, or if it sounds good, or even if it's made sense in their eyes, even if they reason, you know what happens when they reason? The Word of God says they become fools. That's what they become as. When the Word of God is not the important issue, when the truth is not important, they become fools. In Genesis chapter 3, look at verses 1 through 4.
One clarification we need to make there is that you're not saying that we're never to read, because Paul does say, let's read together. But what he's talking about is, let's look at the truth and evaluate it.
Absolutely. Be persuaded in our mind through the Word. Yeah.
So Paul uses that word reason, and if we're not careful, we're telling people, if you start reasoning on your own, you know.
And yeah, that's... I appreciate that, because that we do need to be clear.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, for the fact that they reason with each other and say, well, this must be true without the words. Good point. Good point. Thanks. In chapter 3, verse...
Every bad thing that happens, God gives the glory. Amazing, ain't it? Every good thing that happens, we get the glory to ourselves.
And you know what? We're brought up that way. We love to hear the testimony of the guy that has succeeded. But do we love to hear the testimony of the guy that has found out he can't succeed without Christ? And that he has nothing, he's lost everything, and that he hadn't got it back? You never hear that. I've yet to hear the guy that shared the testimony of everything that he's lost, and that he still has lost everything, and he don't have anything, and he just gets by. How often do you hear that story come back? You know, we don't. We're raised where we want to hear the success stories, and we want to come out of the miry clay and be drug up from the ditch and talk 45 minutes. How, you know, and there are some stories that are real about that. So I don't make a lot of that, but most of the times that's the longest story, and the testimony from which where Christ saved them is the shortest part of their whole testimony. And I noticed in Paul's letters, his testimony is over pretty quick at the beginning. But he talks about the things of Christ afterwards, what he's done since then. So those, you can tell a lot about a person's testimony a lot of times by that. But in Galatians 3, 1 through 4, I'm just recognizing how people want you to go along with them. And they want to believe the lie. It's good to their eyes. Because they're not looking right. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of every fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And here's how we learn. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. It just fits perfect. And that's the world today. They question the truth, and they learn how to reason without the truth. And the truth's just not important anymore. And so they make translations, and they make denominations, and they make religious sects, and they make all those things that come about to deceive this world. And I've come to a point that I believe that there are very few people that are saved in this world.
And yeah.
Was
it? What's that concept? I mean, did they really know what that concept was?
They did if they communed with God.
Yeah, they were perfect.
Yeah. They would have understood.
Yeah.
So, where did God say they knew?
Yeah, because they were perfect. They walked with God. Just by not taking God at His word, man continues to cover himself long enough that he believes what he wants. He's filthy on the inside and doesn't even know it today. That's man. The cross that Jesus died on should manifest just how ugly man is. I mean, if we want to know how ugly we are, shouldn't the cross of Christ manifest that? Also, the way it was dealt with and judged. I mean, shouldn't we understand how ugly we are without Christ just by looking at the cross and the judgment that our ugliness was dealt with, our sin was dealt with? It was death. Death to our Savior. So man ignores it and acts out. And that's what's happened, what we just read in Romans chapter 1, verse 18. That's what we read. The thing that was interesting to me is, and I don't think about it enough, I think, is the fact that in the beginning, in Genesis 1:1, before that, the execution before that, before it all happens is very interesting, and it should show us how awesome our God is. But what man has forgotten and man has started living on his own, we don't think of those things anymore. Man doesn't. And I thought there were some interesting scriptures as I studied to look even before what we've talked about. Okay? Best example, let's go to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs 3. And to know that this plan of God is what Christ did for us and His mercy and grace, and how ugly we know we can look at by looking at the cross and knowing what we deserve, that this plan goes all the way back before Genesis 1:1. The execution of His plan started before. And we can see these things in the Scriptures, how awesome our God is, knowing what man was going to do, knowing man was naked before Him, knowing that man was the creature, and yet also knowing how evil man was and how he would want to be his own God or want to serve himself instead of wanting to know the truth and the glory and the righteousness of a holy God. And God still continued to execute His plan. And to this day, He still will. Because He's perfect and He's holy. And He says so. In Proverbs chapter 3, I guess I ought to turn there myself. Just some interesting scripture. Look at verse 13. Now look before, during the execution of His plan. I think this is interesting. You'll see wisdom is personified. It's as a person. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom and the man that getteth understanding. This is what man needs. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her sight. Length of days are in her right hand. I don't know why I got sight from right. Yeah. Do what?
That's when she's holding her
right. Yeah. Thanks. In her right hand. And in her left hand, riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantries, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is every one that retaineth her. The Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth. Now he's talking about wisdom being personified, and with wisdom, what it brings. Okay? And here's the picture of God with wisdom, using the wisdom of Him, okay, of Himself. And He says, the Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth. By understanding hath established the heavens. By His knowledge the depths are broken up, and the clouds drop down the dew. Now go to Proverbs chapter 8. Just some interesting scriptures. And man wants away from the wisdom of God. He wants the wisdom of himself. Proverbs 8, look at verse 20. Proverbs 8:20. I lead in the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of judgment, that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasures. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of His way, before His works of old. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, or ever the earth was. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water. Before the mountains were settled, before the hills, I was brought forth. While as yet He had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world. When He prepared the heavens, I was there. When He set a compass upon the face of the depth. When He established the clouds above. When He strengthened the fountains of the deep. When He gave to the sea His decree that the waters should not pass His commandment. when He appointed the foundations of the earth. Then I was by Him as one brought up with Him, and I was daily His delight, rejoicing always before Him." You think wisdom is important? You think knowing the truth of His Word? Now, we're talking about today, people follow man's wisdom or what man gives. Well, wisdom was before this world ever began. It was personified. It was with Him before the world ever began. These are just some neat pictures of the wisdom of a perfect God who had a plan that is being executed that man has ignored and believed He is wise in his own eyes. It's amazing when we don't think about the magnitude of our God. Don't you think? When you see these scriptures, during the creation process, you'll see the term what? When we read about creation through Genesis chapter 1, we go through the days, what does He say every time? There's wisdom. God creates. And at the end of the day, He looks at what He created, and what does He say? It was good. I mean, I just think that's interesting. It makes that so much more than what I used to read. I just want to get through it because I was going through the Bible, you know. It was good, it was good, it was good. I mean, but you see this, during the creation process, you'll see the term, it was good, over and over. Why? Well, I mean, God had the blueprint that was used, and it was perfect. God's good, by the way, is not like pretty good or good to us. His good, that's all He needed to say, is perfect. And when God says it's good, there's no flaws, are there? No, because He doesn't need to use a bigger word. It was good, you know. We need to take it that way. It's as if we are at the end of the day and we look at it and we say, it is perfect, you know. So we don't understand what God understands. Of course, when God says it, then it can't be better. Right? It's good. And this wisdom is daily. This wisdom is His delight. Isn't that what the Scriptures say? It's God's delight. Think about it. He speaks it out, and it's perfect. And when a lot of times we just use that word perfect, it's so nonchalant. We're talking about when man speaks of something, I mean, we use symbols and mathematics and chemistry and, you know, all these things, right, that man uses with his wisdom and how he's thought that he's created this stuff and how he uses a counterfeit. A lot of times we use it, but we're talking about when it's perfect in God's eyes, it's mathematically exact. Okay? The thing that's neat is man has to figure things out. As time goes by, man has become wise and has figured a lot of things out, hasn't he? But you realize God doesn't have to figure it out, does he? It's not like he's working at it. He doesn't have to figure it out. I thought about when God spoke it through His breath, it became. And then I thought about the time I tried to build a doghouse. There is no comparison. That's pretty good. Okay? To me, it wasn't very good to God. I mean, mathematically, everything is perfect. Nothing off. Think about the solar system. The land. Nothing off. Nothing out of tilt. Okay? The degrees are absolutely perfect. You know? And God says, this is good. Yeah, to me that's kind of funny, you know. We would use a much bigger word. God doesn't need to. And He holds all this together with the power of His breath. Right? That's an amazing God. We have laws today that come up that we come up with that man's put laws in place of how this works, you know. And we don't even have a clue of some of the stuff out there, do we? Of some of the things in the second heavens. And we don't have a clue, do we? But man's always got this law that he's put in place to figure things out. I think of the black hole. Does anybody know what that is yet? No. But this, before this beginning, if God can do these things that we see today, that you can't ignore if you even think about it and you see the truth and the expectations He has through this execution that we see that's going on, even in this dispensation and the things to come that we read about, those things before are amazing. And so these things aren't in vain, are they? Nothing is in vain when it has to do with God. What He created, how He spoke it, how it's in perfect alignment. But yet man today tries to reason without God and tries to have his own wisdom. Genesis 1:2.
You ever wonder how they have a black hole when they wasn't nothing?
It was already a black hole, wasn't it? How they didn't create a black hole? They didn't fix it. I don't know. I didn't mean to go this slow, but there's just some neat things to look at. And I thought about it. In Genesis 1:2, you always have a lot of people speak about. And I'm not going to get into that a lot. We've done that before. But the one thing that I think that we need to understand and that would be good for us to share is that these things were not in vain. They weren't meaningless, you know. They were important. Genesis 1:2, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. This is not in vain. He's going to fill this void, doesn't He? When I thought, well, why was darkness over the face of the deep? Well, He is light, isn't He? It's His glory that's light, right? And it led me to Psalms 104. Go to Psalms 104. Now, we know, and something we need to remember, these things that we're reading and being in Psalms 104 and seeing this creation, let's not forget who this is for. Okay? This is for Israel, and this is for their kingdom, and this that He's creating, that we're seeing, it's not in vain, but it was to Israel, right? It's His kingdom that it's going to be, and the execution of God starting this kingdom, right? Before the world began. He knew Adam. He knew Adam would sin. And he just knew about it before they did. And you don't see the mystery here, but it was still there. And it was still
playing. He just didn't try to allow man, through his own consciousness, to evolve to the point where we were smart enough to do it.
Well, look what he did. What about Babylon?
Well, he clearly said we weren't. Yeah. So that's why He gave us several chances.
That's right.
Even
and you see in Matthew, they were without understanding.
That's right.
You know. In 104, look at verse 1 and 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord my God, Thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty, who coverest Thyself with light as with a garment, who stretchest out the heavens like a curtain. There are things that they just did not see, are they? And His light was, it's as if they were just covered with a curtain. You know, when you put a curtain between me and you, I'm not going to know, if I didn't see before you came in here, I'm not going to know much, am I? He's the light. And we see in Genesis chapter 1 verse 2, it's blocked just like a curtain, isn't it? That firmament. Now we know from Genesis the Spirit of God is doing something, don't we? He's hovering over the waters, isn't He? He's getting ready to make something His home, isn't He? I want you to look at the details in Psalms. And I just think it's just neat to look at. And these details that we read about in Psalms, that you can go back to Genesis and start and see this, I believe go all the way back and they're in connection with the Davidic covenant. In Psalms 104, look at verse 3. Who layeth the beams of His chambers in the waters, who maketh the clouds His chariot, who walketh upon the wings of the wind, who maketh His angels spirits, His ministers a flaming fire. But you see these This laying of the beams, okay? This is something that is specific in a specific place, okay? And it's going to be where His kingdom is. And I just think that's interesting in Psalms 104:3. I tell you what, you can see Him talked about again if you go to Exodus chapter 40. Just hold your place in Psalms, go to Exodus chapter 40. I may be wrong. I may have meant Ezekiel. I meant Ezekiel 40. I'm going the wrong way. Ezekiel 40, look at verse 1. I'm leaving. No. Man, I'm missing it. Maybe Exodus 40. I put EZ. Yeah, I'm sorry. I hate to miss this. I knew I should have. Yeah, Ezekiel 40. Ezekiel 40, verse 1. In the 25th year of our captivity, in the beginning of the year, in the 10th day of the month, in the 14th year after that the city was smitten, in the selfsame day the hand of the Lord was upon me and brought me thither. In the visions of God brought He me into the land of Israel and set me upon a very high mountain, by which was as the frame of a city on the south. And He brought me thither and said, and behold, there was a man whose appearance was like the appearance of brass, with a line of flax in his hand and a measuring reed, and he stood in the gate. And the man said unto me, Son of man, behold with thine eyes, and hear with thine ears, and set thine heart upon all that I show thee. For to the intent that I might show them unto thee art thou brought thither. Declare all that thou seest to the house of Israel. And behold, a wall on the outside of the house round about, and in the man's hand a measuring reed of 6 cubits long, by the cubit and hand breadth. So he measured the breadth of the building, 1 reed, and the height, 1 reed. Then came he unto the gate which looketh toward the east, and went up the stairs thereof, and measured the threshold of the gate, which was 1 reed broad, and 1 other threshold of the gate, which was 1 reed broad. And every little chamber was 1 reed, was 1 reed long, and 1 reed broad. That's hard to say. And between the little chambers were, and I go on and on and on, and you see how specific God's plan is. Okay, that's the issue. It's so specific. One other place, I know I'm running out of time. Psalms 102. I saw more in Psalms than I ever thought I would see, and I can't cover it all. And in Psalms 102, look at verse 25. Of old hast thou laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hands. There are things in the second heaven that we still haven't a clue. And there's some interesting verses we'll look at next week, because I'm not going to get through with them today. But go to Job. There's just, you know, in Job 37:17 says, how thy garments are worn when he quieteth the earth by the south wind. Hast thou with him spread out the sky, which is strong and as a molten looking glass. There's just some neat things before Genesis 1:1 that you can see through Scripture in Psalms of these pictures and of His execution of what He's doing. And today man is constantly trying to reason within himself without the truth and outdo God. That's amazing, isn't it? And the issue is because the Word's just not important. For the most part, the Word is just not important to people. In fact, for the most part, I promise you, Awana is a lot more important than the Word of God. For the most part, baptisms are much more important to God, or how many we can get to the Word of God, or how many we can get to the altar, or I mean, it's just more important than the Word of God. Would you agree? And the power to which saves us is what? Through the Word of God. And the descriptions of the things of God are so huge in this Word, and they're so clear as you study the Word, that how in the world are we not interested in the Word of God? It's amazing to me. But I mean, I'm guilty of a lot of things. Sometimes I get more interested into other things than I should with the Word. I make other things more important than the truth of His Word. I really do.